Alright, I'm sorry about that. What are we up to?
Buying, unabased, bottom line, fast line, tomorrow.
Okay. So, we're up to item unabased at the bottom of the page. Yeah, this Gemara is a little strange. We're talking about Bray all along here throughout the whole parak. Now all of a sudden the Gemara makes like what's going on here. One second. Right, so it says, so he's mentioned in the Mishnah that if he's in the base medrash, he says this, the Lashon of Tainim, he's going to be mafresh tomorrow. And then in the end, we said if it was Dmai, again, we said the same kind of thing. There were some minor differences that we pointed out yesterday. The Gemara makes a question. Maikadon, how is this designation made? In other words, how do they actually take effect? If they're going to take immediately, then it would be mixed up. You'll have like a Meduma type thing. On the other hand, if it's not going to be taken now, but it will be taken later, so how is it mutter to eat? This is like mikvar l'kisha afrishana. He says there'll be already mikvar already when I separate it, which means in the English it says it'll be effective immediately. It shall be identified only when it's actually separated. They're not using the word breira here, but it sure sounds like it.
He does.
The Hebrew says Breira, but yeah. I don't know, the English for some reason.
The Breira, he says it befavors.
It's a funny thing. In the English, he actually says it. The Gemara, the Mishnah doesn't seem to want to use the word Breira. I thought I saw that.
In essence, it's a two-step process.
This is, at 23, he says, this is an application of the principle of Breira. I don't know, it just seems like... I don't know why it's spoken out like this. Anyway, okay. And I know all of them and all it says like this. Hagatzmacha. So, think about it is what he translated. Hagatzmacha. Shohaisa truma tamhaira. If the truma is tahar, then you should say, mikvar l'kisha ochlena. When I've eaten it, it'll be identified after I've eaten, then... Whatever's remaining, what he's saying here is the truma will have taken effect already, meaning immediately, and will be identified specifically when I've eaten the remaining produce. So he's saying that it's truma immediately, but you don't know which part it is, so therefore you wait until later to actually identify it.
Action reveals it, but he can choose any part.
He can choose later.
Whatever is left is the metzias of the truma.
The way he says in footnote 2, he says, the effect of this designating that which I will leave over is that as soon as one finishes eating and leaves something over, the leftover portion is automatically considered truma. Presumably the truma portion will need to be moved somewhere for storage. So that's okay. He's talking about moksa, but forget about moksa. But I mean, it's like let's look at maybe we can figure it out from the comparison to the other case. Hagasmach, if it was truma tameya, then mikvar l'kishani chel bezavis, then the truma should take effect, and will I be identified when I placed it in the corner after I finished eating? I mean, the difference here is. If it's truma tameya, so you don't want it to be identified, because then it'll become muktzah. So you want it to only be identified after you finish putting it in the corner. So you eat it, you move it over to the corner, and then as you put it down, then it becomes identified. That's the truma.
You have to think that, right?
I guess.
There's a thought part to this and an action part to this. In both cases. Hagatzmach,
it says think about it.
In other words, it's
a
theoretic part. Like, yeah. Let's figure out such a case. But there's a thought part to it that's making it. And then there's an action part. In each case, the action is different.
In the second case, you're postponing its identification until it has been put away to avoid mukta. And in the first case, what is happening?
Postponing to identifying it until you have to stop eating.
Right, and in the first case, in Truma Tahira, so you're identifying, the difference is whether you're identifying it the second I finish eating versus after I put it down on the floor. That's the difference here.
Yeah, he has an interesting thing. Why doesn't he do it? Why doesn't he do it either while or before?
What do you mean by before?
Before, I'm saying before he finishes eating. Or while he's eating, he can take a little bit and put it on the side because it's not identified as the
right.
As a truma.
Yeah, while he's eating.
Because it's not the end.
While he's eating,
it could be this. It could be he's picking it up just to.
Just check
I don't know.
That's an interesting question.
What page are we on?
71A1.
71.
Oh, he says because it's Breira, so everything's chal before Shabbos. So if he does the action now like this, or if he does it like that, it doesn't really make a difference because it was already. We're just the nuance. You know what I'm saying? It was done before Shabbos. So if you do it during, if you do it before, if you do it after, it's all the same thing. Bisman achila, I'm saying. Bisman achila, not before Shabbos.
You do it a second time on Shabbos.
Right.
Then you're up against the first time.
What you separate on Shabbos was done already before Shabbos. So it doesn't make a difference if he does it before he starts to eat, during his eating, or at the end of his eating. That's what he's
But the basic, the way the English is explaining it, the difference is just this, very simply, is it identified as soon as I finish eating, in the case of Tahara, is it identified after I put it down, in the case of Tamea. That's the way he's leaving it. There are other questions on it, fine, okay. Tani, so the Brian says, Matalatala, he can move the produce regardless, you can move it. 7, you can move it. What's this trying to tell me then? This is a case. See, this one. One second, I just want to see. I think he had a distinction here. He seems to make a chilak here in the English on the top. That up until now we were talking about where the separation is going to take after Shabbos. And then the second paragraph, he says, the Gemara now turns to a case where you're stipulated you separate the tithes on Shabbos. In this case, you don't intend for the Maisers to take effect retroactively. Rather, they become effective on Shabbos when they are actually separated. So until the Maisers are separated, the produce is still tevel. So is that considered muksa at that time? So basically, the idea here is the yisod here, I believe, is that even though normally tevel is muksa, but if you have tevel, the reason why tevel is normally muksa is because you can't be mafresh the trumas and maaseres from it on Shabbos because you're usher to be mafresh. But if you have a tevel which for some reason you were able to, for instance, you made the tanai before Shabbos, so even though right now at the time I'm being metaltal, it's mamish tevel, but since subsequently, after I eat, or a second before I eat, whatever it is, I'm going to be able to be mafresh and trumas and maaseres. In that case, the tevel is mutter to be metaltal. That's what I think it's saying. Metaltala, if you stipulated regarding the tevel, you'd be able to separate the maaseres on Shabbos. And even before separating them, you can move the produce, whether it's tahar or tameh. Ordinarily, tevel is considered muksa. Why is it not muktzah? If his tevel had some conditions stipulated earlier that made it mutter to mafresh it on Shabbos, then mutter l'tatlo b'Shabbos because there's a way in which you could be mater it. Ketzer Huaisa, now what if you...
Is that only once he's mafreshit on Shabbos, or if he decides he's going to be mafreshit at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, can he eat it at 10 o'clock in the morning?
He made the condition Erev Shabbos.
Right, but it's not going to take effect until Shabbos.
Yeah.
So when on Shabbos is it taking effect? Is he allowed to eat it before it takes effect at that time?
Doesn't it take effect as soon as he eats it? And he's showing what he doesn't eat, and then that becomes mutter.
In footnote 10, he says the following. Kate said, well, I said, what do you do? Although we've learned that one may make an advanced stipulation, you can take the maizes on Shabbos. That's only produce that you need for the Shabbos meals. You cannot take maizes for more tevel than necessary for the Shabbos meals, even if you made a tonight Erev Shabbos. Now, if you have more tevel than you need for Shabbos meals, so what's the procedure? So it says, Ketzer Huaisa. That's how they're learning the question. Noisin Einov B'Mitzaso. He mentally designates the part of the Truma and the Maaser for Echelas Hashar. He eats from the remainder. So what? The Gemara is teaching, in a case where you're not allowed to physically separate the Maasers on Shabbos, you can do it mentally and then eat from the remaining produce. After the Shabbos, he physically separates the portion he mentally set aside on Shabbos. Right.
This is
just very, very confusing. I mean, I don't understand what's going on over here. It seems to me like we're going over all the things that we've already covered already. I don't understand why the Gemara seems to be going back to...
Maybe this is the source of it.
I don't know. There seems to be a confusion also whether this Gemara belongs here or belongs in an earlier area. I'm not 100% sure exactly here. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's go right there. Ha'ilafon of Sheikol Kolos, Shel Tevel. So he has two piles, halachavon. He has two baskets of Tevel. Let's make an assumption that they each have 100. In 100 figs in each, let's for example, right? And he says, so the first statement is really pasha. He says, Maisa zu, bazu. So if I go ahead and I say the maisas from basket A should be in basket B, so musaras. So it's simply you're taking maisas from a different basket. That's 100% okay, no problem. Shalzu bazu, shalzu bazu. If I say, I want the maestros from A to be in B, and the maestros for B to be in A, so then it's no good. The first one will be Masukkan. The first one, when I said the maestros from A should be in B, so that was Masakan A. But once A becomes Masukkan, now it's Pater from, it's no longer Tevel. So you can't now go ahead and fix B with A, because B is Tevel and A is Pater. You can't be Mafresh Menah Pater Alachiyah. That Alachar is also Pashat. So that's both these Alachas are really Pashat. But Masros Sehem Mu'usoros Kilkola B'Chavertor Kor Hashem. Here it's saying when you take one, you're trying to designate them both simultaneously, right? You're saying, let the maizes for each one be in its fellow basket simultaneously. So now you don't have the problem. Now, since it's Chal V'Asachas, right? Each one individually is Musar on its friend. So that is going to work. Now, there's a rule, the Gemara in Kedushin says, right? If I'm a Kaddish, two sisters, if I'm a Kaddish, you know, Rachel, she's Mekudeshes. So I'm a Kaddish Leah. She's not Mekudeshes. It's Achas Ishtar. So what if I give them both two prutas at the same time? I say, Hariyatem Kudoshos Li. you should both be Mekudeshes to me at the same time. So the Gemara says a famous rule, Kol she'enu b'zah chazeh, afilu b'vasah chazeh, whenever something can't work sequentially, then even once it doesn't work. So the question is, now over here, we just finished saying, you can't be ma'aser A and then B, because A becomes putter and then it can't work for B. So how does it work with Vasachas? So the answer is very simple, because there's a way in which it could work with Vasachas if you're careful to designate separate areas. In other words, if you separate an area of Tevel on A and a separate area of Tevel in B, and say that those areas are not being Masachet. So then I could say, okay, that B area should work for A and vice versa. Then that will work. So since it's possible, if I spoke it out explicitly and designated Tevel in each basket, so since it is possible, so therefore even Vasachas it will work. The other thing to know about is it says here in the Mishnah, Kor Hashem. Now this is a very, very big controversy, exactly what this means. What does Kor Hashem mean? Notice it doesn't say it's Mu'usaros. Notice the Reisha, it said it was Mu'usaros. They were both, you're Masakin, right? And when you take the Maestras for B, should be in B. So it says it's Mu'usaros. The first one is Mu'usaros. So then it should have said at the end of this Mishnah, Shnehem Mu'usaros. They're both Mu'usaros. But it doesn't say, it says Kor Hashem. So what they say is, what it means is that even it's a strange concept, but what it means is that I have designated an area in each basket that needs to be further defined. Meaning, the effect of that is I can no longer take, let's say I have another third basket of Tevel. I can't take the third basket of Tevel and use it to be masakin these tefillim over here, because these tefillim was Korei Shem. I have designated these as the area for which we're going to be masakin each one. It still remains to be seen which part of each basket I'm going to be masakin. So that's a little bit of a strange type of a thing. Yeah. The reason for this strangeness is because we're talking about Tevel here. And if it's Tevel, there's no din of Breyer by Deraisa. So therefore, the Rambam passes, there's no Breyer by Deraisa. So yet, how does he pass it over here? So in the variants, it says in the bottom of the first left column that even if you reject Breyer, it's possible for Truma or Meiser designation to take effect on a clearly defined portion of a pile or container, even when it's not clear which of the specific fruits of that portion of the pile have been designated. So that's the idea there. Okay, let's go on a little further. The Taniya law. Okay, so now we have a little bit of math here, unfortunately. I'm going to have to go through this quickly, but it's pretty simple. Taniya law, Naitimun Ashniya, Shnei Tainim, Shnei Yisroinim, Yisroi Shal Yisr. So this works like this. What happens is, taking the example of two baskets of 100 each, okay? Now, normally, if I go ahead, let's take only one basket. I have 100 figs. I want to take Meiser from that fig, from that basket. I take 10. Forget about Truma. We're talking about my, for instance, example. So we're starting off with Meiser. Take 10. Now it fixes. What am I left with? I'm left with 90, right? So to fit for every 90 that I want to fix, I need to take 10, right? So now if I have, think about this for a second, it's a little copy. That's if I'm taking from this particular basket. To fix 90, I take 10. If I'm using a separate basket, then if I take 10, I will have fixed 90 in basket number one. Again, I'm taking 10, that fixes 90. It's not going to fix all 100. Because remember, if I had the basket itself and I took 10, it would only fix 90. So how can if I take 10, it fix 100? It doesn't make sense. You don't think of it that way. You think, oh, what do I mean? I took 10% of the whole basket. Normally, when you take 10% of the whole basket, you're taking out the 10 and giving the 10 of the 100 to the levy, and you're left with 90. Over here, you're taking a separate 100.
Isn't this middle of God, middle of bar?
Well, it works out that way. We have to work out the math. So that's what we're doing. So we're using as our base. Our base information is taking off 10 will fix 90. So I've got 90 that I fixed. Now I've got 10 left that still need to be fixed. So again, 10 fixes 90. 1 will fix 9, right? Same thing, right? So I've got 11. I've got 1 remaining. I've got 1. So I'm going to take 1/10 of 1 to fix. It'll fix 9/10 of that fig. But there'll still be 1/10 left that I haven't fixed. I think we're going to talk about that in a second. But following what I'm doing here, so it's 1.11, right?
Yeah.
So the two baskets. So all together you have 11.
Yeah, 1.11.
I'm saying 1, but I really mean 11.
Yeah.
1.11, right? That's what I end up with. Now, if I want to take from both of them, so it's double that. We'll make it 22.22. And then if I want to take Truismeister, I'm going to take 10% of that total, which is 2.22. That's basically what the Gemara is just going to say here. Okay? So the Braisa says, Neutumen Hashniya, Shnei Tatum, you take from the second one, two figs. Shnei Yisurim, 2/10, Yisur Shalasar, and 1/10, which will be 2/10, basically. So you end up 2 plus 2/10 plus 2/100. That's Trumas Meiser. That's basically what it says over here. And then Shmuel says, Lein Motzi T'Nisua. That's not going to work. And Shmuel is raising the issue because of that 1/10 that I just mentioned to you before. Shmuel is concerned, every time I come into this cheshbon, and I take 10 is 10% of it fixes 9, left with a remainder of 1. 10% of that fixes 9/10 of that remainder 1. So you're always being, you always have remainder 1, remainder 1, remainder 1. It never gets to the bottom. That's Shmuel's problem. In Yesiv Chadal Asar, Trach Misav Chadal Emeo. If you're going to always take one part of 10, you're always going to have to separate another part for 1/100. Yesiv Chadal Emeo, Trach Misav Chadal, you have to take 1 out of 1,000, and then 1 for the 1,000, you have to take 1 to 10,000, and so on. So Shmuel feels you can never rectify fruit using this type of formula. And that's where we'll stop. Line Basil and Aleph at the two dots. Again, I apologize for being late.
There you go.